I'm a senior in college at the moment. This happened during last semester in the fall. Like most college kids, I use Snapchat to communicate with the majority of my friends, and I've used it for many years. I don't really get added by people that much unless I know them in person. So around the beginning of last semester, when I started getting added by people a lot, I thought it was strange. It didn't take me long at all to figure out that the people adding me were bots. I would get added by a bot roughly once a week, sometimes multiple times in a week. They would always be a female, and oftentimes would send me some sort of spam chat message or something like that. When this happened, I would always just ignore it and would never add them back or anything like that. One day, I got added by another account with a female name. I looked at the account to see that it was more than likely another spam account. I didn't recognize the name, and the user didn't have a snap score when I looked. After that, I deleted them and moved on. But a short time later, I received a Snapchat from them. It was a text message, and I expected it to be another spam message, but when I clicked on the chat, it was pretty threatening. They said something like, "I better watch my back," and I was in trouble. They also said they were going to get me. This actually got me to respond. I asked who this was and why they said that. They only responded to say basically the same thing, but in all caps. I was kind of creeped out by this. I was a pretty quiet guy and didn't really have that many friends at college, but the friends that I did have were very close and I knew they wouldn't do something like that to me. But still, I decided to ask any of them if they knew anything about it. They all told me no and didn't seem to know why I was getting these messages. The next day, I got another threatening and cryptic message. It was just saying basically that I was a bad person and that I was in trouble. I asked who the person was who was sending me this. They didn't respond to me at all. And at that point, I decided to block them. That way, they wouldn't be able to contact me anymore. But later in that day, I saw I was added by another account. This account was another female name. I decided to look up the name, but it came back with no results on all social media sites that I looked it up on. They sent me the same message again, and I immediately blocked the account this time also. After that, I started getting paranoid. Everywhere that I went around campus, I would wonder if I was being watched or who wanted to get me. When I was in classes, I would wonder if it was another student. Or when I was in the cafeteria, I would look around to see if anyone was watching me. I never seemed to get any clues as to why someone was threatening me like this. I didn't get added again for 2 days, but then I was added by another person. This person's name I also didn't recognize, and I got another message from them. At this point, I looked in my settings and was able to change them so that nobody could send me snaps unless I had added them back. This made me feel a little bit better. I did get added by another person the next day, but I never bothered to look after I didn't recognize their name. After this, I figured whoever it was would give up. I didn't get added by anyone else for a while. I was starting to feel better about things, until one day, I was added by another user again. When I looked, it was actually a girl who I had in a class with me, and she occasionally talked to me. I added her back, but a short time later, I saw that she had snapped me. When I opened up the message, I could clearly see that it was someone else pretending to be her. Her snap score was very low, and I got another threatening message. I immediately blocked the account. This really creeped me out to know that whoever was threatening me even knew the name of the classmates who I talked to. For the rest of the semester, I was on edge, but I didn't get added by any more people. This semester has gone by fine, and nothing has happened since. I just still wonder who it was, though, and why they were doing it. I'm a 23-year-old female living in a two-bedroom house with my roommate. I moved into the house last year. My roommate is one of my good friends from college who happened to take a job in the same city as me, which isn't very far from the college we attended together. I would use Snapchat every day and had a pretty large number of friends on there and people who I snapped. I would get added by guys that I didn't know quite a bit. Sometimes I wouldn't know them at all, and other times they would be guys that I went to school with or actually did know in some way. One night last summer, I was in my bedroom just chilling on my laptop when I casually looked at my phone to see a few Snapchat notifications. I saw that somebody had added me named Josh M. I didn't really think that I recognized him, but I wasn't quite sure, so I added him back, and then was going to send him a snap asking who he was. But before I could, he beat me to it. He sent me a snap, and I opened it up. It was a picture of about half of his face, and he said, "Hey." He appeared to be in a dark area, and I couldn't tell much detail at all about him other than he was white with darkish hair. I sent him a snap back saying, "Do I know you?" He snapped me back almost immediately saying, "Yes, don't you remember me?" I asked him where I knew him from because I really didn't remember him. He just responded with a snap of his face and no words. I wasn't believing that he knew me at all because after seeing more snaps of his face, he wasn't looking any more familiar. I didn't respond to him, but he sent me another snap a minute later asking me what I was doing. I told him nothing and asked him once again how he knew me. He didn't answer me this time either, and once again sent a blank snap of his face. He wasn't really making any sense, and when I left him unread again, he sent me another snap asking where I was. In that moment, I was happy to remember that I never had my location turned on in Snapchat, so nobody could ever tell where I was. I wanted to know more about this guy, so I clicked on his profile on Snapchat to see his username. But when I did, I noticed that he had his Snapchat location turned on. I then clicked on the map to see where he was and maybe get a better idea of where he was from. But when I did, I couldn't believe my eyes. He appeared to be right outside my house on the street. My heart suddenly started racing. My blinds were covering the windows of my bedroom, so I couldn't see out. I decided to slowly walk over to them and carefully look out. I noticed a car parked on the side of the street. It was a little ways away, and I figured this had to be the guy. I then went back on my phone to see that he had snapped me again. I opened it, and could now see that he was in a car. He asked me to stop leaving him on red, and at this point, I sent him a snap asking him where he was right now. I saw he opened the snap right away, but he didn't respond right away like he usually did. I waited several minutes, but he never did reply. I then looked back at the snap map, but he was now gone. He had turned his location off. I was afraid he had realized I was onto him and was now hiding. I slowly went back to the window, but when I looked out, the car was now gone. I was terrified. I now had no idea where he was and thought maybe he just parked down the street and was going to try to break into my house or something. I called my roommate to tell her what was going on, but I knew that she was at work and the chances of her picking up were slim. Sure enough, she didn't answer. I quickly went around the house making sure that all of the doors and windows were closed and locked. Thankfully, they all were. I went back into my bedroom and locked the door. I was just hoping that whoever this Josh guy was had actually left and wouldn't come back. About 20 minutes later, I heard a noise coming from my front door area. My heart started to pound even harder than it already was. I knew the door was locked though, so I was just hoping whoever was in there wouldn't try to break in. I got out my phone ready to call the police. Then, I heard the sound of the door opening. I couldn't believe it and I started to freak out. Until finally, I heard the voice of my roommate. It was her coming home from work early and not the Josh guy. I was so relieved and went over and told her everything. We were both a little creeped out for the rest of the night, but the Josh guy never came back. The next day, the Josh user had been deleted from Snapchat. I never did find out who he was, or why he was seemingly stalking me. A few months ago, my best friend Joe and I got invited to one of our other friends' birthday parties. Unfortunately for me, I had to work that night, and I wasn't able to go. However, afterwards, Joe asked if I'd pick him up, and then he'd buy me food. I said sure, because I was always down for free food. I guess they had the party at a bar downtown in the major city that we live near. I was kind of bummed that I had to work, because as I was at work, I saw a few Snapchat stories of some of my friends, and it looked like a pretty good time. When I finally got off of work at about 10:30 p.m., I got a Snapchat from Joe saying he was ready for me to come pick him up. We mainly communicated through the text chat on Snapchat. I told him that I was on the way, and asked him where to pick him up from. He then sent me his location on the Snap map, and I could tell the general area where it was. I asked him for a specific address, but he just said to follow his Snapchat location. This made it a little bit harder with no address, but I could still do it. I drove to the area, which was about 15 minutes from where I was. I got to where Joe was on the snap map, but it was in what appeared to be a back alley behind several businesses. It didn't really look like bars, though. Just more like warehouse or apartments or something like that. I told Joe I was there, and he said he would be out in a minute. Then he sent me a snap saying he couldn't find me, and asked me to get out of my car. I was wondering what Joe's problem was, because I thought he was acting really strange. I parked my car and got out. I wasn't intending on being out of my car for long, just enough to call out for Joe to see if I could see where he was. But what happened instead was I saw three men start to run out from the building that I was next to. They were running straight for me. I quickly got back inside of my car and locked the door before the men reached me. Thankfully, I hadn't gone more than two steps from my car, or I wouldn't have made it back. I had no idea who these men were, but they were now trying to open my doors and all shouting at me. I sped away as fast as I could and drove all the way home. I contacted a few of my other friends who had been with Joe that night, and it was told to me that Joe had lost his phone at the bar earlier. I realized someone must have took it, and was now pretending to be Joe and communicating with his contacts. I went to the police and told them everything. Joe's phone was found cracked and in a dumpster a week later. Joe was able to get a new phone, but I don't think they ever found out who the men were who took it and chased after me.
This happened pretty recent, about 3 weeks ago. Myself and three friends were hanging out at a shopping center one evening. We're messing around posting clips on TikTok. Then one of my friends started laughing, and I asked her what she was laughing at. She told me that guy behind us kept staring at me. When I turned around, it was some older guy just watching me. He had black sunglasses, a cap, an old Adidas tracksuit with scuffed up shoes, and had a disgusting looking beard. My friends thought it was hilarious, but I found it really weird. Then another one of my friends said, she thinks that guy lives on her street, about a few houses down from her. She said that he actually follows her on TikTok. At that point, I quickly got my phone out to check if he was following me, and he was. I had to block him because he seemed a bit creepy. We went to get McDonald's before we went home, and I received a message on TikTok from someone. It was that guy who had been following us. His name was Greg, and he wrote, "Why did you block me?" with two emojis. One was a crying face, and the other one was an angry face. He had actually created another account that day in the shopping center. I blocked that account as well, hoping that would be the end of it. I didn't mention it to my friends this time, knowing they would just laugh. That night, I was up late and had Netflix on in the background as I was chatting with my friends on Facebook while scrolling through TikTok. I got up to use the bathroom, and when I returned, I had three messages from my friends, all saying the same thing. All were things like, "Who's in your room?" and "What's up with your last post?" I asked them what they were talking about, and they told me to check my TikTok, so I did. It was a clip of my bedroom. It was a clip of someone picking up my phone and recording the inside of my room. At that point, I heard a creaking. Then I heard a man's voice say,
"Sorry, please don't scream."
And turned to see my closet door slightly open. I started to scream when the same guy who had been following us burst out of my closet and tried to cover my mouth. Thank God I screamed, and it was enough for my parents to hear. They came upstairs and my dad tackled the guy to the floor. The police were called and he was arrested. We were informed that the guy had straight up admitted to stalking and breaking and entering. One of my friends pointed out, if I go back and look at the post on TikTok from when we were in the shopping center, you can see Greg is in almost all of those pictures, somewhere in the background. I haven't heard what's going to happen to Greg yet, but I just hope he won't ever come near us again.
Thank you. I'm 16, and this story happened about 4 months ago. My friend Lisa and I frequently use TikTok. We both have about 100 followers each. Not a lot, mainly just friends and family. One day I was in a grocery store nearby where we live, and there was a stand that was selling unusual items such as Ouija boards, spell books, and other creepy novelty items. I thought to pick up a Ouija board so that Lisa and I could mess around with it, maybe post some ghost encounters on TikTok. I told Lisa about it, and she thought it was a good idea. So the following Friday night, when Lisa's parents would be gone for most of the evening, we thought it would be the perfect time to test out the board. We turned all the lights out, lit some candles, and pulled the curtains closed. We asked the cliche questions like, is there a presence, can you hear us, what's your name, etc. We posted a few clips on TikTok saying nothing yet. Then one of our followers commented to ask if there was something stronger than a spirit. So we gave it a shot. We asked the board if there was something other than a human spirit in the room. Me and Lisa waited anxiously, hoping we would get a response, but sort of hoping we wouldn't. About 20 seconds went by before the candles suddenly went out and the room went dead cold. Even though the room was already dark, it felt like it had gotten darker somehow. You could honestly feel something was with us. We put the board away and decided to watch a movie. We posted another clip on TikTok explaining what happened. Most people in the comments said that it was probably the wind or something. One person said it did work, but we just ignored him, thinking that he was trying to creep us out or something. About 2 days later, Lisa started acting weird. She wasn't eating much and stopped posting on TikTok, which was weird as she was on it all the time. This went on for about a week and a half. She stopped posting, she barely spoke a word to me, and she didn't really go to school. The strangest thing happened after a few weeks passed. After her not responding to any of my texts or calls, I went to her house and her mom told me that she had gone to stay with her grandparents for a while. I asked what was wrong, and she just said she hadn't been feeling well and just needed a break. The last post Lisa made was her trying to crack a smile in her bedroom. Then there was a noise coming from behind her. To describe it, kind of sounded like a low, guttural growling. She was slowly turning around as if something was behind her. The clip ended there, and like I said, this was around 4 months ago, and I haven't heard or seen Lisa since then. I never really believed in anything paranormal, but I honestly think when we used the Ouija board, we let something dark into our lives, and whatever it was stayed with Lisa. I just hope she's okay. Recently, I quit posting on TikTok.
I used to frequently use TikTok watching trick shots, gaming posts, and other comedy clips. There is one guy who I follow, though. I won't say his name, but the clips he posted were very unusual. They weren't very nice, to be honest. He used to wear this featureless mask and do things like spy on people in their house and frighten them. He even went as far as to attack someone. I gotta say, I'm not sure if it was real or not, because the clips would end before you could tell, but it felt genuine to me. I'm not proud that I watched this guy harass and assault people, but I did. One day I noticed I had gotten a new follower on TikTok. It was the same guy that I just mentioned. At first, I was a bit worried, but shrugged it off. I was in an underground parking lot after I was done grocery shopping. It was late in the evening, so the parking lot was practically empty. Well, it looked empty. But I could feel that there was someone there with me. I suddenly became very paranoid. That night, I was scrolling through my TikTok and saw a clip that made my heart sink. It was me in the parking lot looking anxiously around my surroundings. It was by the same guy that had followed me on TikTok from earlier. The next 2 days were the same. I was very paranoid, thinking I was being watched and followed. And my suspicions were confirmed because each night that guy had posted, it was clips of me. I felt sick and decided to call the police. Unfortunately, they said there wasn't much they could do, as no crime had been committed. A week went by, and a post stopped. I started to relax, thinking maybe he had just moved on and it was all part of his prank thing or whatever. That was until I was attacked outside my house. I was hit over the head with something. I fell to the ground, nearly knocked out, but I was still conscious enough for a moment to see. What I saw will haunt me forever. It was a man standing over me with a featureless mask holding a phone up. I passed out, but the next thing I remember was waking up in a hospital. I was found by someone who lived nearby. I told the police of what happened, but his account had been deleted. Whether or not his clips were staged or fake, his assault on me certainly was real. The weird thing I don't understand is why he deleted his account after attacking me. Unlike the other people, I deleted my TikTok. And this incident and the experience has scarred me for life. I just want to tell you, be aware of your surroundings because you never know who could be watching you. And honestly, I would stay off of TikTok and any other social media.
Back in 2014, I joined a Facebook group that was started specifically for people who are from the town I grew up in Southern California. The whole group shared memories of the town, and everyone seemed nice, except for one person. There's always at least one asshole. This guy got on the bad side of one of the admins, whose name was Robert, and ended up being booted from the group. I'll note that I was in my mid-30s at the time, and most of the members were at least 20 years older than me. Robert was approaching 60, and was married with children who were about my age. Robert took a liking to me. Since he was married, I didn't think his friendship would go any further than that, but I was mistaken. He said that I was a down-to-earth girl, and was easy to talk to. He and I exchanged phone numbers, and he would message me quite a bit. However, Robert took it a step further, and found out where I lived, my landline number, and my mother's address in California. He had a subscription to one of those sites that contain information on people, their age, phone numbers, possible relatives, previous addresses, etc. He found out through Facebook when my birthday was, and he sent me flowers. I thanked him, but I started to get suspicious. His behavior was becoming alarming. He started complaining that all his wife wanted from him was his pain pills and money. Around this time, I met the man who would eventually become my husband, and of course, I announced it on Facebook. Robert went into a ballistic rage upon hearing this, saying that I should have known that he was in love with me. I told him, "You're married. Why are you in love with another woman?" He began texting me at least 10 to 20 times a day, going from calling me hateful names to profusely apologizing. I blocked his number, so he started blowing up my landline. Most of the time I kept it unplugged, so I didn't get most of the voicemails that he would leave. One day, out of curiosity, I did listen to some of the voicemails I got. In one of the messages, he claimed that I owed him $13,000. He then started making threats about how he would come to where I lived and would also pay my mother a visit. I blocked him on my landline and informed my mother about the situation. Robert got clever and started texting me from random numbers located all over California. He even sent letters to my home, and nothing he said in those letters made any sense. That's when I decided that I needed a restraining order. I tried twice through my county court, but since I lived in Washington State at the time, the judge wouldn't grant it since we lived in different states. Once Robert found out that I couldn't file a restraining order, he sent me more hateful messages and told me that I would never get rid of him. So I went back to court with the new messages. For this new hearing, Robert mailed in a letter of rebuttal. He claimed that he was a civil servant who had worked at a school district at one time and was an electrician by trade. He also said that he was on disability and couldn't drive longer for more than a half an hour without experiencing excruciating pain, and posed the question, how could he possibly come to Washington State? I told the judge that this wasn't true, because he openly posted all day about his motorcycle trips to Malibu on Facebook. Regardless of the evidence, I wasn't granted a restraining order, and I felt failed by the system. I blocked him on all social media, emails, and phone numbers, but he obviously would still call using new numbers. He made a duplicate Facebook page with my profile picture, and sent out friend requests to all of my friends. He had my real Facebook profile blocked, and I found out when a friend messaged me. "I got a friend request from you, but I already thought we were friends." My friend then told me that this fake profile of mine was making all kinds of posts talking shit about me. My friend reported it, and thankfully Facebook took it down. I changed my cell phone number, and I eventually moved into a new place. Things died down for a while, but Robert somehow found me on LinkedIn. After that, I straight up deleted LinkedIn and Facebook, and I saw that he even followed me on my YouTube page. I don't know how to remove someone, so I just blocked him there. The last time I heard from Robert was an email that I received from an account with the name John Sims. I knew it was him because he references trying to find my brother years back, and how I asked him for his help. I didn't ask anyone for help, by the way, because I don't have a relationship with my brother, because he has a drug addiction problem and is a diagnosed schizophrenic. To wrap up this insane story, I'll include a screenshot of the email he sent and a recording of some of the messages he left.
"Hey, I need you to unblock me and respond to me, please. Would you consider doing that? It's the Christian thing to do, don't you think? Please, I'm not playing around. Bye." "Look, if you don't respond to me, you're not leaving me too many choices here, and that only leaves me one, and I don't want to do that, and I don't want to blindside you. I wish you would just talk to me. We could work this out, but obviously you don't want that, but you're not leaving me much of a choice, and I won't be going after a paycheck. Bye."
This happened last year when I was 14. There's this dating app for teenagers. I used it as more of a joke. It was connected to Snapchat, so whenever you matched with someone, you would add them to Snapchat so you could continue talking to your match. As I said, at first I was using it as a joke, but then I matched with this really good-looking guy, and I thought, well, would it hurt to try? So I accepted his request to be my friend on Snapchat. I sent a shy hi to him and waited for a response. It took him about 2 hours to respond, and the only thing he sent was a blank black picture. I didn't think too much of it, and I continued on with my day. But the next day I get a message from him, a picture of a very familiar thing. My school. It was only a little jarring, but I figured he probably went to the same school and we had just never met. Then my phone began to vibrate like crazy during a class. To give a little perspective, we have glass doors and windows. They look out into the corridors during class. And when I checked my phone, I saw maybe 15 pictures sent to me from the same guy. They were pictures of me, sitting at my desk in the classroom. The pictures kept coming. They seemed to have been taken from outside that window next to the door. When I looked over, I saw someone standing there, just outside that window. He had a phone in his hand, and he was pointing at me. Whoever it was wearing a black hoodie. The hood covered half of his face, and the other half was pale, and he had a sharp jawline. I could see thin lips curved into a grin, and I saw my friend. She was looking at him too, and her face turned red, and she began to shake. We were the only ones who saw them, because as fast as we tried to say something, the figure was gone. My friend stood up from her chair and went to the door to open it. It caught my teacher's attention, and we had to explain what we were doing. We had to tell them what we saw. My teacher went out herself to look for whoever this was, and then she even told the office. They let out a message over the speakers, telling everyone to look out for this man. Ever since then, I haven't used Snapchat. It was one of the apps I used all the time before. It still creeps me out. though it may have been a joke and it must have been someone who knew me from before, but it was still horrifying. It had made me a lot more paranoid about strangers on the internet.